Hello and welcome to the Super Saw podcast. And I'm your awesome host, Super Marcy. And I am joined by another really big Saw fan who wanted to talk about these movies with me because they're misunderstood. So please welcome Copco.
Hi, Marcy.
Hello.
How are you today?
I am very well, considering that it's late night.
It's early morning here. I'm off work today, enjoying an extended vacation.
Well, I was just thinking, it's like nighttime talking about horror movie kind of fits.
There you go.
Although I'm not recording in a bathroom, which might have set the mood even more because of the setting for the first Saw
That would have
movie.
been actually a great idea.
I could have sat in a really disgusting old bathroom chained to a pipe. That could have
Could
worked.
have, but nobody would have seen it, so it wouldn't have mattered anyway.
I could have done like a live video feed.
Could have you streamed it?
But yeah. Oh, Ustream, Marcy in the Saw bathroom.
But as you said, yes, I do thoroughly enjoy this series and agree that they are misunderstood.
I think people tend to write them off pretty quickly without really, I don't know, giving them a chance. They're like, oh, blah, blah, blah. I mean, I did that. I'm guilty of doing that.
Yeah.
Because I was all like, Saw? Who the fuck gives a shit about Saw past the second fucking movie?
I did. And I think the only one I
Well,
think that
yeah.
I didn't see in theaters was the first one. Because I don't, I
Oh.
just, I had no time to go see it, so I watched it by other means and was truly blown away by the first one.
As was I really loved it. I was a huge fan. I went out and saw the second one in the theater. But I was satisfied with all of that. And then when they made another one, I was like, what the fuck? And then I didn't bother watching anything until October last year for my like Halloween horror movie month.
Well, let's, you want to just roll into part one?
Oh, Saw Interpol. Marcy and her lame jokes and segues.
They're not lame. Too lame, anyway.
All right. Let's talk about the awesome first movie.
Let's. What, I don't know, where do you want to start first? Favorite death? Favorite trap?
In the first
Yeah.
one? Yeah, well, I guess I don't think we really need to like go into details too much because everyone kind of knows what the first one's about. With the two guys in the bathroom, there's a trap, Jigsaw is doing it, and you get a bit of backstory as to what's happening, why it's happening. And I think it's actually really smart because it's different, something we haven't seen before, where the main sort of killer isn't technically a killer.
Right.
He's not really, because he just puts people in these positions that they have an easy means to escape. However, they don't because people are dickheads.
Yes, and even though there may be some dismemberments or whatnot, it kind of it goes with the old adage of an eye for an eye. At least that's how he tried to do it. And we come to learn later on that not they kind of went away from that a little bit. But
Yeah.
the true actual Jigsaw, the first one, the original, did it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, as strange as it might be, Saw is about life.
It is.
Valuing life. Which I think I did write down in my notes somewhere. But yeah, do you wanna mention what your favorite like trap was or something like that that we can talk about?
I don't know that I had a favorite in that one. I think well, I guess my favorite would have been just the main trap between Carrie Elway's character and the other dude, the photographer.
Lee Whannell. Yeah. Or as their characters are, Dr. Lawrence Gordon and Adam. Because Adam didn't have a last name. I did like that whole central trap. And what I like even more is how you sort of, the way the movie starts, you get a clear indication of how they could have gotten out of that trap. And then you, when you notice it at the end, you're like,
yeah,
fuck. It just, it kills you inside.
It also, well, we'll get to that later. because it later on, it's almost, I'm still confused at some points in this fucking series, but I think it was actually a fuck up. Like, that key wasn't supposed to be where it was.
It is possible, but I think that, you know, that it was there. If he didn't act the way he did, it wouldn't have gone down the drain. Something, but there was all these other bits that made it easy for them to escape, and they didn't do it, and they didn't really follow the rules that were set, which I think is an important factor in surviving a jigsaw trap.
Absolutely, the correctly made jigsaw traps showed that if you listened and obeyed, you would live.
The answers are all there.
Give you an appreciation of life.
I mean, he might talk in code, but the answers are always there. Like, there's always a way out.
Right.
And it's kind of just like, oh, these people are fucking dickheads when they just don't do it.
No, they don't. And they get what they deserve.
But I liked the backstory they kind of gave, like, to sort of help understand, like, who this guy is, what he's done before, without actually knowing who he is. And then when you find out who he is, it's like, oh, really? That's kind of strange.
Yeah.
And that there's more than one game going on at the same time, which they sort of played up with the other movies, which we'll get to.
Yeah, as a standalone horror, if people, I would still highly recommend this as a horror flick for people who just want a good one-off, you know, decent flick, little bit of suspense. It was good, and I know people who, and if it happens to others, you know, you just maybe have that uncanny sensibility to know what the fuck's going to happen at the end. But they knew that, and we're obviously going to be spoiling the fuck out of everything in this podcast, but they knew he was in the bathroom. How they knew, I don't
know. Yeah, I had no idea.
I had no idea.
I had no fucking idea.
No idea.
I'm sitting there going,
yeah, that was,
you know, like, completely so awesome. Crazy. Not that the, yeah, it totally blew me away. I'm one of those smart-ass people when I watch a movie. I'm like, oh, fuck, this is going to happen. And then, sure enough, that's what happens. This one, I had no idea.
Right.
I was the idiot who thought, oh, my God, that guy's the guy that's doing
it.
No, fuck no. That was another game. I'm like, fuck, this movie kicked my ass. And it still does upon rewatching it. And I think it's a really well fucking made movie.
It does hold up today.
It does. And I think, you know, mostly it's well acted. I think a few people are kind of a bit, you know, but they've got, like, Danny Glover and stuff in it, and I can't remember half the cast. A guy that was in Lost was there. of course, Cary Elwes, who I think is awesome as Dr. Gordon, and I don't care what anyone else thinks or says.
Yeah, I agree.
I am a big supporter. I very much love him very much. But, yeah, I think the main trap was kind of the best one. And I don't know, I think it's kind of disturbing this was thought up by two guys who formerly lived where I live now in my city. Is this place that messed up that that's what these guys came up with? I don't know. But score one for the Aussies.
Yes, very much so.
Which would be James Wan and Lee Whannell, who James Wan directed and co-wrote, and Lee Whannell co-wrote and starred.
Now, because of the because of how well the original Saw did, they did a sequel, which I was very happy about.
As was I. I was so excited. I, like, rushed to the theater to go see it.
And upon rewatching it recently, because a lot of these I actually hadn't seen. I may have seen a couple of them, like 2, 3, and 4. I may have seen again after the theater because I bought the DVD and watched them, but a lot of them I just bought the DVD and figured I'm going to get around to watching these eventually, and didn't until now for a second time. I thought it was just as, almost just as good, because they gave more of an origin story. They, you know, they brought in a little bit more to kind of make it a good series, but the way it ended, I had a problem with. Because they almost did, it was almost like it was then a remake. In remake slash sequel with Shawnee Smith's character Amanda, supposed to be the Jigsaw character. But the voiceover at the ending is horrible.
Yeah.
It's so fucking awful.
Yeah.
It's bad.
Yeah, it is. But the rest of the movie is really good. This was the directorial debut of Darren Lynn Bousman, who, of course, went on to do the next two Saw movies. And recently he did Mother's Day, which is a very solid movie. But I kind of liked how they... this one's kind of set in real time. They expand upon Jigsaw. We get to see Jigsaw. They do, like, this whole sort of Silence of the Lambs thing with Jigsaw and Donnie Wahlberg. But I thought it was cool. Like, they had more people. I don't think it works when there's heaps and heaps of people. I thought that kind of took away from it a little bit, where there's too much focus on too many people. I think it works better when there's a few characters and there's more focus on them. But it was interesting how everyone's tied together. And, you know, Donnie Wahlberg was a bit of a dickhead cop, which I wrote down in my notes.
Yes, he was.
So he kind of, like, yeah, he kind of had it coming to him. Yeah, and it had a really disgusting opening with just a random trap. With a guy that has to, like, cut open, like, his underneath his eye to escape.
Yeah.
I thought that was messed up. But the first one I noticed isn't as gory as people say it is. And I think that originally the original film was, like, a PG rating, and they added extra stuff in to get a higher rating because they didn't want a PG horror movie.
Wait, the original one was rated PG?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they went in and added extra stuff to get that rating.
Huh.
However, I think Darren Bousman is a sick bastard. That's why a lot of these things are very gross. And I think this one more so got the reputation of the torture porn crap that got dubbed around
the
time.
Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing.
Like, you know. That was when, you know, Eli Roth was doing Hostel and stuff as well. And that all kind of, I keep saying, and I should stop doing that. But that was where that kind of came from, because this was the time period where everybody was just making disgusting horror movies.
Yes, because nobody had any intelligent thought to make an actual decent horror movie. They had to just go the route of making it as gross as possible.
Yeah.
Which
let's just be gross and, like, cut people up and do all this stuff. It's like, yeah, you don't really need to do that. It's not scary.
And the other movies can definitely still fall into that category, but they tried to make a storyline around it. And while people will say that storyline is very weak, it might be, but it's still kind of interesting that they had the ability to tie them all together.
Yeah, as I sort of noticed, because when I first watched all of them, rewatched one and two, and then the rest of them last October, was I watched the first four right after each other. And for me, they flowed on perfectly. And I watched the next two the next day, and I thought they continued on really well as well. And then the following few days, Saw 3D came out, so I went and saw it on my birthday. And even that sort of worked. I guess upon a rewatch, they still do, but I can notice a few little things that sort of, I'm like, what? But then there's other things like, wow, that feels like they planned it because it works so well.
Right. Yeah, it's almost like they did. The way I looked at it was, one can stand alone, Two is a good sequel, but it also kind of starts a new story. So the way I see them, one stands alone. 2, 3, 4 are kind of a trilogy, and then 5, 6, and 7 are a trilogy. The way they flow, in my opinion.
Yeah, in a way. But funnily enough, Saw 2 was originally a script that was not a Saw movie, and they reworked it to be a Saw movie, which could explain why it feels so different than the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the fact it has a different director.
Yes. But,
those guys still had input in it. But yeah, this one with the main house trap, I don't know if I really dug it a lot, but it was still interesting. It did have some really strange deaths, and you just realize how stupid people are.
Yes, they, well, speaking of traps, what was your favorite out of this one?
Maybe the main one, which was, like, the stuff in Jigsaw's, like, lair, I did the quotation mark, with the Detective Matthews and Jigsaw, because that was really a trap for Matthews, and he doesn't pass that test.
With the...
Because he doesn't realize where his son is, actually, even though Jigsaw tells him exactly where he is. He never picks up on it because he doesn't have the patience to do so. I think that trap worked better because it was that dynamic. And they didn't realize that the other trap had already happened.
And that's where things start getting confusing.
I think that for me worked. Yeah. Because that trap already happens. Then everything that, like, the rest of the movie actually plays out in real time. And they're watching that trap happen on the monitors. Even though it's already happened, they don't know that it's already happened. So once that trap concluded, Amanda took his son into the safe. And that's when Detective Matthews came in. And then Amanda basically puts him in the bathroom.
Yeah, and with the horrible voiceover.
Yeah, so bad.
I think... I have a tie between the needle pit.
Oh,
you know what? Fuck,
I hate
it's that the needle pit. The needle pit does it because the razor box... If she was fucking intelligent and not a junkie or whatever, would have known that, okay, if I just go with one hand, I can get this fucking thing. Because I can use the other one to hold up the razor blades. But the fucking needle pit, there's nothing to do but jump into a pit of needles or get pushed.
It's horrible. I have trouble watching that. And I was very sensitive with needles when I was younger, but with my health issues and blood tests, like, all the time, they don't really faze me anymore. But seeing them like that, that's, like, my worst nightmare. I would fucking not want to be in a pit of needles. One in my arm, okay. One in each arm, okay, I've done that. But a pit of needles, fuck no. Then you gotta, like, pull them out.
Yeah.
Oh, that was horrible. I don't know how... she did that, how they set that up, fuck. I would have been like, you better pay me extra for this acting gig if I have to jump in a fucking pit of needles.
Yeah, that's pretty gross.
It was.
Now, they're really, at the end, 2 could have ended there as well. 1 and 2, but the problem is 2's ending, the voiceover just, it's really bad. I can't get past how awful it really is.
Yeah.
And it was upon the recent rewatch where it really slammed you right in the face of, this is awful. So the success of it, and I think part of the awfulness of that led to part 3.
They're like, we need to sort of do something else. And I think part 3 was really meant to finish off this story.
Yes.
For me, this is the trilogy of the Saw series. Because this one, again, this goes back to what I really liked about the first one. is that it's minimal characters. There's that personal interaction. It's messed up because we see fucking Jigsaw's brain at a point in this movie.
Yes, that scene is awesome. I'm usually squeamish at that type of shit, but that was just really, really cool and done really well.
I don't do brains and skulls and heads, no. Ugh. And eyeballs. Eyeballs don't work either. I'm like getting grossed out thinking about it. I did write that down in my notes that the brain thing was gross. I did note that we did see Hoffman in this movie. It's just this very
Yeah,
small
so it's
role.
a kind of a cameo, if you will.
Yeah, and I was and I even wrote down, oh, he's very hot. My Saw 3 note, I
Yeah,
should
I
note.
still don't see it, but whatever.
Anyway, yeah, and what we don't know until like the end of the next Saw movie is that they set up the next movie to take place at the same timeline as this one. So, like, we see all this stuff happening, but there was meant to have this other simultaneous stuff happening as well. And I'm just wondering, like, they're having, like, I don't know, 50 billion traps running. That's very sort of confuses me, but it kind of works. But this one sort of adds in, like, Jigsaw's dying. Because we know that he's dying. Well, we know that he had, terminal
Right.
cancer. So this one leaves him, he's dying. Amanda's not really, she's not really fit to take
She's failing
over.
her tests.
Yeah. So there's that. There's this really intense trial of this man, with all the people that were sort of responsible in a way for his son's death. And that's kind of disturbing. And those traps are fucked up. Like the winding one, or the pigs with the pig slaughter into
Yes.
the pit. Oh, that is fucked. So this sort of has a lot to it, but with the minimal people, I think they can sort of they had the time to build it up. I mean, this is a long movie as well, but it was really fucking good. I think that this would be my second favorite Saw movie.
I could agree with that.
Next to the first one, with my rating system. If there was like a favorite trap in this one, the one that just totally grossed me out the most was the one with the pig. That was fucked. I would not want to be that man. With all that pig slaughter all over me.
Definitely not.
That was the best trap. The guy didn't die. I think the best death was that winding thing, that crazy torture device. That's horrible.
Now,
And again, this sort of ends in a really shitty way. Like, how dumb are these people?
yes, it did.
It makes me think like their intention was, wow, people are really fucking stupid because they don't take the time to think about things.
Yeah, one of the key elements to these movies is showcasing how selfish and self-centered humans can be.
People are, yeah, I think I wrote that down in my notes for like every
Because
movie. People are
thinking
selfish
back, I was
bitches.
trying to determine if there was a different kind of deadly sin that they were all responsible for. But only one per movie. But it really wasn't like that. It was more of the fact that people do not listen. They care only about each other, and that is going to result in their ultimate demise. There's a lot of good ones in here. Like you said, the pig fat, fucking awful. That's not even fat. That's
That's
just
gross.
like rotting pig corpses.
It was rotting pig carcasses. Ugh. That's not a young pig, by the
The
way.
coolest one, I think, no pun intended, was the one in the freezer room.
Other freezer. Oh yeah, that's horrible.
Because that, I couldn't even imagine
that type of shit. Just standing there getting in a freezer, like misted on until you actually freeze solid.
Yeah, it's fucked. It's
very fucked up.
Yeah, well.
And then, let's see, what do we also see? I wrote that down. The summary / flashback at the end of 3 is way too long. But...
Oh, for like the reveal, yes, thing?
Like the,
and the music kicks in, it's like, no, I can't remember the music.
The montage where they roll through all 3 movies.
Gonna need a montage.
So long. But I think it would be fine.
Yeah.
It would have been fine if the movies were released further apart, and that truly was the end of the series. I think we're finally like, okay, let's go back, let's resolve everything. But they also did a montage at the end of 2. Then it's like, okay, then it became kind of a staple. Some were better than others.
Yeah, to do like, oh, let's reveal everything with the cool storm music that I can't remember how it goes right now.
Well, you also find that 3 is also the one where we find out that Amanda throws the key in the bathtub. And going back to 1, there was always an option, but she fucked up. She didn't give Adam that option. So then you think about it in a way that it kind of totally changes part 1. Because originally you look at that and see, oh fuck, the key went down the drain. Now what are they gonna do? But that's what they have the saws for in part 1, but they weren't supposed to have to use those.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it just further shows that Amanda really wasn't fit to take over, and then brings us with her death and whatnot, brings us to Saw 4.
It kind of
brings everybody to the forefront now to continue the storyline.
Mm. Yeah, because this movie starts off weird. It starts off with the Jigsaw autopsy, and then there's a tape. And it's a message for Hoffman.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, we don't really know who Hoffman is. We just saw him as like a detective in the other movie. But what it turns out to be is this is his text message, because he, as we find out at the end of this movie, he's a Jigsaw apprentice with Amanda. And he's participating in a trap as a willing participant. So we don't know that, like, Hoffman's the bad guy till the end. But then we don't realize that the tape that he got is also a test from Jigsaw, because Hoffman, like Amanda, has issues with what he's doing. I think this was the movie we're introduced to, like, Jigsaw's wife.
We get the Detective Carey, Lieutenant Rigg. Basically, all the stories are revealed. We find Strom. Then we find Jill Tuck as his wife. There's a lot of stuff that's brought up to kind of, I think, throw life in a new part of the series.
Yeah, because we got new characters. There's like another detective or cop gets tested throughout this one. So there's like another 2 traps going on. So really there would have been like fucking 4 traps or something, 4 or 5 really sort of tests or traps going on in this one time frame between this movie and the previous movie, because they happened at the same time. It's all kind of crazy. It's like, I tend to wonder, like, who the fuck has the time for all this shit? But, you know, it's a movie. Suspension of disbelief. So the other thing I sort of noted down in a lot of my notes was there's a disgusting, creepy pedophile theme throughout this movie. There's, like, a gross, like, fat, disgusting, gross man rapist pedophile. There's, like, some other teacher pedophile or something in this movie. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was definitely fucked up.
It was messed up. Yeah, it was messed up, man. And then there was something involved. Like, I think this was sort of beginning to explain a bit more about Jigsaw, like how he could do all these things, because he has, I think, money and properties, so that sort of makes a bit more sense. Because by the third round, you question, like, what the fuck? Like, how does he know all this stuff? So I think that's brought into it to kind of explain that. Because I did write, evil lawyers are actually really evil for some reason.
Yes.
And I think this reveals, like, when it started, where the pig mask thing came from.
Yeah,
and why Jigsaw kind of went over the edge, because a guy, like, with his wife, they lost their baby and stuff like that. All this, like, there's so much in this movie. It kind of does lose you a little bit because there's so much put into it.
Yeah, this...
But it's still pretty solid, though.
This one, was this the first one that was closer to 2 hours, or was part three closer to 2 hours?
Part three was, like, two hours.
Because, yeah,
I don't think this one was that long.
After the first couple, they did start to get a little bit longer because especially this one, because they were starting to throw so much into it. Like, the origin story especially, there was a lot going back there. My problem with four, and I think this is what turned a lot of people off from the series, besides it being released, you know, the fourth one in 4 years, was Detective Strom. He's horrible. The guy, and I don't think it's the written dialogue. I think it is that character. It is just...
I didn't really notice his acting.
It is so bad. And I think that's what a lot of people have that. At this point in time, torture porn was very saturated, and everyone was releasing anything they could with the most ridiculously gruesome type of murders.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of, you know, it was bad for this. And plus, people then got into the, they didn't buy into the whole storyline, I guess. Which, I don't know. I think it's cool. I think it's great that they were able to do it. And how many other franchises are there that have, you know, more movies than this one did that are a lot worse? I mean, Hellraiser comes to mind.
I think that, like, for what they are, all the movies are really solid. I can watch them. Whereas, say, take a Nightmare on Elm Street, I can't watch, say, part six, where on this part six of this series, yeah, I can fucking watch that. There's no, like, Jigsaw riding on a broomstick. Or with power glove in a video game.
Right.
Or, you know, Jigsaw doesn't take Manhattan.
No, he doesn't. Or he doesn't go to space either.
That would be awesome, Jigsaw in space.
Sitting on a flight deck, a little fucking guy in a tricycle comes rolling out.
He'll suck you out of the airlock. I don't remember the traps that much in this one, but I think the most messed up one was the beginning one with the eyes and the mouth sewn up, and those guys just couldn't communicate.
I have a list of the traps here. There was...
Yeah, my note's kind of a bit different than yours, because I'm writing, ooh, there's gross pedophile.
There was the knife chair, which was for Cecil, who was the guy who actually killed Jigsaw's son. Then there was the mausoleum trap, where they had to pull, one guy had to pull the other guy closer.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one that I think the most messed up. The one that I remember.
Everything for Detective Riggs, the lone token black cop, after Danny Glover left.
Danny Glover.
The scalping seat, which was the hair caught in there, that was fucked.
Yeah, for someone with long hair who's had their hair caught on something, yeah, that's not
the good. Bedroom trap with the pedophile. The ice block in the static chair, which we come to find out was just pretty much bullshit.
Yeah, because Hoffman just wanted to be tied up because he liked kinky shit.
Uh-huh, and then you have the tests for the two cops.
Yeah.
I'd have to go with the... God, I don't know. Because cutting your face hurts a lot. But the scalping one, oof.
Yeah. I wouldn't want to be in any of those situations.
But this is also where we find out that the traps are kind of getting fucked. Because there really isn't, because
there's no way, there's no real awesome way to get out. Like, they're not winnable traps by this stage, because Hoffman is a fuckhead who wants to see people suffer.
Because they're not their traps,
they're not like Jigsaw traps anymore.
And they're also Riggs's traps. They're his test, mm. because he's supposed to forgive and yeah. let things go. So
And
when
he
doesn't, they all die.
Yeah. But I think this is an indication of the traps getting more crazy, because Jigsaw wasn't, like, I can't remember if it was this one or the one after, where you see Hoffman sets the traps to extreme and Jigsaw gets pissed.
Yeah, I think that was...
But that might not be this one.
That would be the next one, I think. Because that's when you found out... Yeah. Yeah, because that's the one that... Well, I guess we could move on to 5 if we're done with 4.
Yeah, I think we can go to 5. This is the most hated one of the series, like, in general, from people.
4 or 5?
No, yeah. 5.
But this is where we found out that Hoffman... is associated,
with how he got started.
Yeah, because with the first trap is the one that Hoffman's first one, which he fucks up, and you find out because the guy did what he needed to do, but died anyway.
And the guy that he had in the trap, he was
sister's boyfriend.
He killed his sister, so he basically. Was like, oh, I'll just pin this on this guy because no one knows who he is, blah, blah, blah. And this is how he becomes Jigsaw's apprentice, because Jigsaw tracks him down.
Yeah, he wanted to do a copycat killing so people would think it was Jigsaw and he can get away with it.
And that is the most fucked up trap, because that is fucking disgusting.
It was awesome, and it worked. He should have been allowed
and
to leave.
It's fucked. But this one also had Detective Strom was meant to die.
Yes.
He did, like, an unwinnable trap that Strom... came out of, because he, like, stabbed himself in the air pipe to breathe when he was drowning in the box, which I drew a picture of for some reason on my notes. Marcy's notes make me laugh. And this is when I really wrote down about people are so fucking selfish, because it's so plainly obvious, I think, in this movie, because they have the group trap and nobody wants to work together.
And they're all group traps. And yes, if they all would have worked together, they all could have gotten out there really fucking quick.
Yeah, they were all designed, actually, for everybody to continue on, and then they don't, and the traps get more fucked.
Yeah, because even though there's less, well, there was only, the only one that had enough room, I guess, was the second one with the ceiling jars. There was only 4 bomb shelters or whatever.
But there was enough room for two people to fit in one. Exactly.
And then the bathtub trap with the completing of the circuit. Easily the fucking most fucked up one is the 10 pints of blood. Fuck that.
Because they're putting their hands in the thing. Ooh.
Yes.
It's like so disgusting.
Yeah, when the one raises their hand and it just kind of splits apart. That was really fucking awesome.
Oh, I know. It was gross. And it's funny because when I was watching this, I'm like, hey, it's Julie Benz from Death. So that was that.
What else about 5?
Aside from me writing down this weird stuff.
What's that?
Oh, I said I'm trying to weed through my notes with all the weird stuff that I've written down.
5 is also where we find out that his wife, that's when the lawyer gives Jill, Jigsaw's wife, the box, and so we're not sure what's in there. But we do know that Hoffman's in on it. Is Jill in on it? And it really could have ended here again, because Strom dies, Hoffman escapes. We don't know what Jill's situation is, and they really don't know anything there. So it could have ended, but it didn't.
Yeah. Then it goes on to the next one. I think the best trap was the first one with the
swing pound of flesh
thingy. No, the first one that Hoffman.
Oh, made. In four. Okay, yeah, the pendulum.
In the five, the pendulum thing.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
Yeah, and that you see everything's like, ooh, it's kind of gross.
But I'd pretty much be. If it would have worked right, people can reconstruct bones. I think I could have used my hands again. But if I got cut in a gun, would have died pretty much instantly. So I'd be okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was fucked.
And then we have part five. Six.
You mean part
six? Yes, six. Look at my notes.
We just had
part five. No, I'm looking at my fucking notes and I forgot to put the I after the Roman numeral five. Six.
Whoopsie.
Starts off with the fucking pound of flesh, the scale thingy.
Yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah. Chick cuts off her fucking arm.
Yeah.
That's how 127 hours really should have been.
No, that movie ends with the longest arm cutting scene of all time.
Awesome, awesome scene there. What do we find out in here? We find out that the main guy is the insurance agency guy that kind of fucked Jigsaw.
Yeah. Yeah.
Again, the will to survive is kind of the theme here.
Mm.
And then we find out why Jigsaw did what he did. It's definitely all more of the story's getting told. And it's falling to more of the story is getting told. And I think they're doing a good job of it. I really don't understand why people give it such a hard time for a horror movie to try and actually have a storyline.
Yeah.
At this point, I think it's kind
of... It's a bit more meaningful, in a way, because of the lessons that are there, like, the movie's basically saying, don't be a selfish prick.
Yes.
How can that be a bad thing? And, like, I think this one sort of, they revealed, like, where Amanda came from, because she was with that guy, Cecil, who made Jill lose the baby.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that. Gotta look over my notes. Wait, should we restart the call? Or leave it? Sorry.
Yeah.
Skype being dick.
There are a lot. There are a lot of awesome things in this one too.
Yeah, I mean, this is when we find out like Hoffman has a trap. I mean, one of the envelopes left to Jill was a test for Hoffman, so we find that out. And by this stage, he's, like, just going crazy, pretty much.
Yeah, he's kind of trying to save his own ass, which is why he tried to kill Strom before. Or did kill Strom. Just trying to wrap up all the loose ends. But Jigsaw...
Yeah, and he's, like, trying to frame Strom and all that stuff. Yeah,
but Jigsaw knew that he would also fail. And so he gets his own test again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then there's kind of like, I mean, it's all really to do with this whole the will to live thing and the insurance company and those traps. A lot of them, they're fucked. Like the one with all the people in the like spinning around, that was messed up, man.
Yeah, having to pick who's gonna live and who's gonna die. Like, how the fuck?
Well, that's what the guy basically does anyway. It's just more extreme.
Right, exactly. So which was the carousel your favorite?
I think so, because that was a bit messed up. The thing with the, like, how the insurance guy dies is pretty tough as well.
Yeah, that, the hydrofluoric acid was pretty badass.
It was messed up, man. I can't remember what else, because my notes for this basically are silly.
There was the oxygen one.
Oh, yeah, that was really retarded.
Every time they took a breath, it would tighten up.
Like the one with the two people when he had to say
the hanging one, yeah.
Yeah, that was fucked. Yeah, that was messed up. And then they sort of had like they had this journalist involved, but when we find out that she's the wife of the insurance guy. Because then there was like this other family that were in there who were the wife and the son of one of the guys that got denied the insurance claim, who ended up dying because of it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was all like, you know, that all sort of came together well. Whoever the mustache guy, he looked like a pedophile rapist. I noted that down.
Mustache guy? Which guy was
it? I think it was the other detective.
Oh, yeah, the head detective finally figured out that Hoffman is, he knows that one of them's involved.
Yeah. And that was important for me to note down, apparently. I forgot to mention in Saw 5, the Strom trap was pretty fucked. How,
because again, he didn't listen.
He didn't listen, and Hoffman was in the glass box, and he's looking at him with that look on his face. It's like,
Yeah, he realized that he wasn't going to be able to kill him, or he didn't. He failed to kill him. He knew Hoffman was involved, so why not try and bring him over to his side? But he didn't listen, so he got smashed. Fled.
Yep, he got smashed. He got smashed flat.
And his bone's breaking when he's trying. Fucked up.
That was horrible. But yeah, I mean, Saw 6 is pretty solid.
It is.
I would rather watch Saw 6 5 times than watch Freddy's Revenge once. Just talking about sixes in a series.
We're not going to talk about Freddy's Revenge.
I should stop talking about it.
Let's see.
I have Freddy with a broomstick in my head, so I like keep going back to it, and I need to stop.
Now, Saw 7 or Saw 3D supposedly wraps everything up, and I really, really hope that they're done. They're not. There's not coming out this year.
It should just be it.
It should. Yeah. It really should. I can obviously, anyone who's seen them knows that there is the possibility of it continuing, but I really hope they don't. The thing that I don't understand, the opening trap, the public execution.
That's the most retarded.
Completely
thing.
Random. Like there is no.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Why the fuck would they do it like that? It doesn't feel like anything to do with a Saw movie.
Yeah, it was really weird because there was nothing. There was no involvement with any of the other ones at all. It was just a stupid lover's triangle.
Yeah, it was really dumb.
So, this really, if you look at it that way, falls into the torture porn category as it was done just to do.
It was done to look cool, and it didn't make any sense because it wasn't an opportunity for everybody to live. Someone had to die for that trap.
Right.
Which goes against Jigsaw anyway.
Well,
that took me out of that movie because I just thought it was stupid.
Oh, well, they're actually in that one, well, obviously the chick was with two guys, and the one guy was the other guy's best friend. So from that kind of scenario, because I don't think the boyfriend who didn't know that she was cheating should even be involved.
Yeah, it was silly. Yeah. Like, it didn't make any sense.
Not at all.
But what I liked about the beginning is that we finally saw what happened to Dr. Gordon after the first one, because they've always not included that.
Yeah, no one really knew.
And we see him sort of crawl out.
It was just...
And then we sort of go to that trap, and I think this continues off because Hoffman was in the trap at the end, which we saw him get out of, but his face is, like, all sliced open. And then he, like, sews it back together and is like, ooh. And then we sort of introduced to, like, this Jigsaw Survivors group with, like, all the people who've survived have, like, a support group. And then you see the guy, I can't remember the character's name, but the actor was Sean Patrick Flannery from the Boondock Scene. Mm-hmm. He's, like, got a book. He's really famous for it. And we find out that he's actually faked it. He was never in a trap or anything. So, of course, this means he's got to be tested for reals. So he's got the main sort of trap in the movie. Hoffman's basically just doing his own thing. He set up this trap, but then he's doing his own thing. Or if he set it up, I don't know. If it was who he gets revealed at the end, I fucking can't remember. What else? I think that some of the flashbacks on some of the traps that these people survived were fucking stupid.
Yeah.
Like, really stupid. They're so elaborate and over the top, and I'm like, that's not right. The traps need to be simple, not fucking so elaborate that they just seem retarded, like as if somebody ever would have set that up. Like the one lady who's hanging above all the fans, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, I think
that's retarded.
That's the type of stuff where they kind of wanted to use the 3D gimmick and, you know, have shit flying off at you or whatever. And, I mean, the 3D was definitely fun. It could have been better, but it works without the 3D too.
Yeah.
But you can see where the 3D would have been used.
Because those shots are pretty obvious. And then we see Dr. Gordon again. He's in the Jigsaw Survivors group. Survivors group, what the fuck it's called. And he's a bit of a, like, a nasty bastard. His hair looks really bad. I think he needs a new hairstylist. He needs
to lose about 60 pounds, too.
That would help. Let me see. Yeah, and he lost his accent as well. So great acting, Cary, always. The thing that took me out of this movie was a person was eating in the autopsy room.
Yes.
I don't remember where, but that was dumb. I was like, no. I think the main cop dude was, his acting was a bit shit.
That was, yeah. Yeah, it wasn't that good.
And I think sort of it sort of lost me a bit because it showed waste too many victims, like ones we'd never even heard of ever. And I mean, obviously Jigsaw was supposed to have gone on for a while, but it just didn't, it just seemed unimportant, silly, a waste of time. There was a lot of explosions in this movie for some reason. It's a bit of neck stabbing that happens, and I kind of enjoyed seeing Jill fucking get at hers. In
yeah, she became.
She annoyed me.
Yeah, she was really. And you know, I don't get it either because you should be sympathetic with the character because of what she went through to, you know, put Jigsaw to doing this, but she's just a major bitch.
Yeah, I was like, fuck yeah, Hoffman, you're awesome. Then her head gets split. We finally see the reverse bear trap in action. And then the ending, which was what I wanted to happen, and it did, so I was very happy, was that Gordon is revealed to be the true Jigsaw apprentice, and he's been helping him ever since the second movie. but nobody knew
now
about
what,
him doing
what,
it.
Knowing, after you saw the end of the first one with Jigsaw getting up, what did you think happened to Dr. Gordon? Did you think he killed him?
I had no fucking idea. My own conclusion was that he probably got killed when he got
That's
out.
That's what I thought.
But then that wouldn't have made any sense, because Jigsaw doesn't do that.
No, exactly, but we didn't know that.
No, we didn't know
until later on, so... It, the only thing that, the one thing that kind of bugged me with the end of Seven was the two guys that helped Dr. Gordon get Hoffman.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
Because then it kind of opens up this whole Dr. Gordon with his
Dr.
minions.
Dr. Gordon and his minions.
Can continue, which I really, really hope doesn't happen. If it does, they need to just go straight to DVD.
Yeah, I don't want to see that. It ended fine. Like, I'm happy with it. I mean, the film definitely has a lot of problems. But it ended good. I mean, I liked the Dr. Gordon thing.
There's definitely a level of cheese and corniness to this series, but it's a decent... I mean, overall, I think I'd rate this series probably 6.5 out of 10. Just because some of
the whole series?
Yeah, the whole series.
I would probably give it about 7. Because I think it does have a really good rewatch value. And I think it's a lot better than a lot of other sort of horror franchises out there. Like, all the movies are fairly solid. Like, there isn't one entry where I would be like, no, I'm not fucking watching that ever again. I would still watch it.
It's true. I think parts 4 and... See, 4 and the ending of 2 and 7's kind of awkwardness of traps not being related to anything from the originals really, I think, bring it down a bit. If you take that out of there, right. I could see going higher, but overall, those things really take away from it for me.
I mean, there are stuff, but still, I think it's pretty solid. So the whole series, I'd definitely give that score to.
There's definitely, not only were the flashbacks, not only were the flashbacks in 7 bad, but there was a lot of them.
Yeah.
There were
But I don't know. I mean, no, I'm sticking by that score. I'm happy with it.
What was your favorite trap out of this, out of 7?
Jill fucking getting it? What a fucking bitch.
I have to go with the, car.
Oh, yeah, that was great.
That was just awesome.
That was, in 3D, in the theater, I was, like, squirming. And I don't squirm. At least there was only, like, 2 other people in the theater for that session, so it wasn't too embarrassing.
Yeah, the, just everything was so, so great.
It was fun.
The ripping, of the jaw, the smashing of the head, and the plowing into the
thing. Ooh, yeah. It's like, yeah, but those people probably deserve it. But out of all of them, my favorite is the first
Absolutely.
One. Absolutely. Easy. But I would say, like, Jigsaw would be my favorite character, because I just think he's played so well by Tobin Bell.
Absolutely. I want to see that guy. I'm worried he's almost going to be typecast now in anything he does, because he seems like he's can do other stuff, but he played this character for so long.
Mm. It's what tends to happen. My least favorite, maybe between 4 and 5. I think. But I still rated them pretty decently, like above average, so.
Soundtrack score for the movies was also, the music is perfect.
Yeah, it is. It's really good.
And I think it'll stay on I think it will be seen as a kind of iconic movie score.
Yeah, I think when people will think of those classic ones, they'll also think of this, like, the horror movies. It kind of, like, It sort of like reminds me of like the ones from the 70s, but not really, because it's different. But that kind of staying power, I think, of those is more what it reminds me of.
And the fuck,
was there anything?
There's been 7 movies in 7 years. I mean, this will be the first year we don't have a soft series. So it's not even that. It's not even a decade old yet. So.
Yeah. Again, I know I shouldn't keep going back to it, but it's like, A Nightmare on Elm Street pretty much had a movie every single year, like this one did.
I just hope.
So it does happen, but you know.
Yeah.
I just don't, you know, it's over. Like, leave it finished.
Yeah, they can't. The way things are going now is you almost expect them to remake it in 2 years. And if they did that, I'd want to stab somebody.
You can put them in a saw trap.
Yeah, I would definitely.
I'll put them in the pendulum trap because it's an unwinnable trap.
No, I'll just shoot them in the head.
No, I think I'd want to torture them. Yes, I'm a sick bitch.
Is there anything else we should discuss about the Saw series?
Not that I can think of, really. I think we've covered like all the real basics and why we enjoy the movies. I mean, for the most part, I think the storyline does make sense. Like, I can't find it, but there was a list of the whole Saw timeline. And it all pretty much made sense. Like, apart from like a few little bits and pieces, they did a pretty decent job, and even when they sort of reworked things, it still kind of fit, because they could do it, because there was an opening for
it.
I think there were a few little things going,
it makes sense, but it's kind of convoluted at points.
Yeah.
More so, not really the story, but the timeline as to, so really, all of this is happening at this point. There's a lot, you realize there's a lot going on at one particular point in time.
Yeah, I mean, I read somewhere that the whole Saw timeline is supposed to be a couple of years, but it feels more like it's happening in, like, the span of 2 days.
Yeah.
When it's not really, so it's kind of weird. Yeah. But I enjoy watching them. Like, I love horror. This isn't usually the horror that I go for, but I think it's done well. Because I think it's more than just horror. They sort of add different bits and pieces to it. And I think, like, the movies that tried to be, like, Saw really failed because they just were like, oh, no, let's just, like, slash people up and show guts and blood and everything. Mm-hmm. Let's not have a storyline or meaning behind it. And that's where they just failed. That's, like, the cheap sort of end of the stick.
Right.
But, yeah. I mean, Saw is one of my all-time favorite horror movies. I think it's one of my favorite movies of the last, like, 10 years. I hold it up there in high regard.
Yes, you do. As do I.
I'm holding it up right now.
It's probably my favorite horror franchise, only because growing up, I'm going to go back to this again. Really wasn't allowed to watch a lot of horror movies for fear of being scared, but not that I had a fear of being scared. My parents had a fear of me being scared.
Yeah.
So this was really the one that I was able to kind of find on my own and go through without having to, you know, go back and like the Nightmare on Elm Street ones I would find and watch, you know, when they didn't know and things like that. So I kind of got, and plus when I was really of movie watching age and understanding, it was a little bit later on. Same thing with Halloween and the Friday the 13th series and Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So for something in a modern era, I think it's the best.
Yeah, over like for more recently, definitely. My favorite is always going to be probably A Nightmare on Elm Street, because that goes back to like when I was younger. But also, A Nightmare on Elm Street has Freddy's Revenge, which is one of the best worst movies ever made. Mm-hmm. And I absolutely love that movie and I quote it all the time and I'm obsessed with it. And because in that movie the main character Jesse, he closes his drawers with his butt when he's like dancing, I always act that scene out.
Jesus.
It holds a special place in my heart.
you're so funny.
No, I know. But yeah, I think that's pretty much Saw. And hopefully people who listen to it can get a better understanding and know why they're so wrong in misjudging the movie. Even though opinions aren't wrong, well, yours is wrong in this case. Because Nasty said so.
All right. Well, that was fun. Now what? Now what? Eight move, seven, eight, nine, ten volume series should we watch next?
A Nightmare on Elm Street.
There's a lot of those that people hate. Just because it got
Can we
so
just watch Freddy's
goofy.
Revenge? I just want to watch Freddy's Revenge again.
Sure, why not?
Well, I don't know. You could always watch, like, the No Retreat, No Surrender movies, even though every single movie is not, like, a continuation. They just have that name. Even though it's not horror, maybe you could consider it horror because the acting is so appalling in every one of those movies.
Very true.
Yes. I don't know. Like, what other franchise are there to do?
I really don't think there... I think that's one of the things that sets the Saw series apart is the fact that everything, each movie ties into each other. Where the other ones, they may throw something back, like, oh, remember this from part two or part five, whatever. This is really the only one that is all necessary. Paranormal Activity is trying to do that now, but I'm not talking about that movie because I fucking hate it.
You know how much I love Paranormal Activity.
Fuck those movies. Although I'll probably see part three when it comes out.
Oh, yeah, I'll see it just so I can be like...
Just so I have the authority and ability to say, this movie fucking sucks and this is why.
Exactly. That's why I watched Paranormal Activity too. Even though it was a bit better than the first one, it was still fucking stupid. Why the fuck does the fucking ghost demon not want this family to have a clean pool? Why does he take the pool cleaner out every night? It's like, no, I want you to fucking swim in dirty fucking family.
Yeah.
That's the fucking ghost. I suppose if I was a ghost, I would be a dickhead like that too.
Yeah. But we're not talking about Paranormal Activity, and we should be wrapping up because, well, we don't want to just ramble on to our listeners.
No.
So where can people find this wonderful podcast?
They can find me setting traps for all the assholes in Hollywood who ruin all these awesome movies by remaking them. But really, you can find Marcy at supermarcy.com, and you can just look up Super Marcy on the interwebs because you'll find Super Marcy. And I don't always refer to myself in the third person.
Sometimes.
And where can people find you?
You can find me by searching Reels, Racks, Records, and Rants. Myself and my co-host Matches Malone are also found on Movie Fan Central and our Facebook fan page. And I believe we're both now on Twitter. You can search either Matches underscore Malone or J.E. Kupka. You can find me at Movie Fan Central, Twitter, Google Plus, but not Facebook because Facebook's stupid.
Yeah, and if you want to Google Plus me, I'm not going to, like, let you see any of my stuff. Because that's the joy of Google Plus. I can put you in not sharing with these people circle.
But we have our own little Saw circle, so if you want to have a, if you're a big fan of Saw, let us know, and we can have group Saw chats. It'll be great.
We can have a Saw huddle.
Yes, a Saw huddle.
Yeah, we can, like, reenact the movie and roleplay.
That would take a long time.
Yeah, no, that doesn't work. That sounds stupid as it came out of my mouth.
I'm sure that's not true.
And you can also find me being a fucking dickhead wanker tosser 24/7. because that's how I roll. So I guess with that, yes, with me calling myself a wanker, that's the end of the show. Thank you for listening.
See you guys later.
Game over, man.